1 Timothy, the 5th chapter.
I couldn't decide yesterday how I wanted to do my charts.
I thought, well, we'd just do it the old-fashioned way. We'll just look at the Bible and talk about the things that are taught there.
It's good to be with you. It's a beautiful day, and it's wonderful to be able to take part again in, on the first day of the week, to come together with a group of people who have such a faith in Christ that they would remember Him, remember His death, and to be a part of that much larger group around the earth that does it all day long, I guess, on the first day of the week.
1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, Paul is beginning to close up his various thoughts to the young preacher. And as he comes down to, look at verse 21, 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter. Again, just sort of varied and sundered things he wanted him to be mindful of. He begins in verse 21. He says, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality, making a statement with regard to how he views people everywhere. And that's such a great point for us today. Verse 22. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. Then in the next verse, he talks to him, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake. Apparently he had some problems that Paul was wanting to help him out with. So as we come to the close of this letter, in from the 5th into the 6th chapter, as I said, Paul just is giving him, is this almost like things popping into Paul's mind as what he wants Timothy to be and to do. And I'm impressed with the ideas we read there in verse 22. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. That's kind of what I want to talk about. Imagine Paul having, the apostle Paul, having to write a letter to a young student of his, maybe a traveling companion, a young man he had a lot of confidence in that he would send out in different places, and that it comes closer to the time in which Paul would quit the walks of man. He writes these letters, and especially Timothy, also Titus and some others, but he emphasizes certain points, and they're such great points for us today. As you and I read the things of Paul, when he says, keep yourself pure. I think old King James says, keep thyself. But he's talking about, think about yourself. Think about where you stand in the scheme of everything with regard to the gospel of Christ and being a member of the Lord's church and being a Christian and being a person who speaks the things of God. And then you think, well, if Paul would have to tell a young preacher this, what would he have to tell us, the rest of us? He would say, keep yourself pure. And here, and just in this idea, just the idea of being responsible, always watching yourself, and we recognize that today in our society in many different ways, but the idea of being responsible for ourselves. We've got to watch how we drive a car. That is extremely important. We've got to watch how we speak to people today. That's always been important. But we've got to watch ourselves, think of ourselves when we're on the job or when we're at Walmart or how we spend our money or what we involve ourselves in. And Paul does this, and the Bible does this throughout the Bible, this idea of just personal responsibility. And as a matter of fact, back up to the previous chapter, the 4th chapter. If you look in the 4th chapter, the last verse, verse 16. He hints at it again, or says it again. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. He's saying watch yourself. Watch where you go, what you do, who you're involved in. That sounds like a mother or father telling a teenager. Watch where you're going. Watch what you're doing. Because things can happen very quickly in life. Take heed to yourself. And it seems like we're almost overwhelmed with the idea in the Bible, Old and New Testament, of being responsible for our thoughts, where we go, and what we do. And that has always been a much discussed and written about issue among all philosophers, I guess, people who study life, people who study the way we live our life, atheistic and believers in the Lord and other religions. People recognize this demand made upon us. One writer I've read before named Sartre, Jean-Paul Sartre, he's an atheist. But when he came to personal responsibility, he had some great thoughts. And it led him to that because he had some thoughts. He didn't believe in God. But the idea of being self-responsible always made him stop and think about how do we achieve that? How do we come to that point? But he just makes a statement one time. He said, man is condemned to be free. And he didn't like that. But he recognized it. He didn't like the idea that we were free to come and go and act as we choose. He wanted someone else or something else to be responsible for the way he lived his life. And you have to read most of what he was saying. But he goes on to say, man is condemned to be free because once he's thrown into the world, he's responsible for everything he does and says. And it's up to you to give life meaning. He recognized that. And he thought there was something behind life itself. And I think there was. And I think that was the point he was arguing about. Each one of us should certainly ask ourselves on a regular basis, is it I? You remember in Matthew 26 where Jesus finally told his disciples, he said, one of you, you're going to betray me. And of course they all begin, is it I? And that's true. And that's what Paul is saying here as he writes to Timothy. He says, keep yourself. You watch yourself. You think of yourself. You be the one, because when we stand before God, we're going to answer for ourselves. And as I said, all the way through the Bible, there's these things about, I have to think about me. It doesn't mean I don't think about other people, and I'm not concerned about them. But first and foremost, where I go, what I do, how I talk, how I conduct myself is my responsibility. Look back in the Old Testament, Proverbs, the fourth chapter. You might even be able to quote it. Proverbs 4, verse 23. You've heard it all your life. He says, keep your heart with all diligence. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And the heart he's talking about is our mind, our thinking, our brain. And he is saying, watch how you think. The heart is that by which we think and we believe and we trust and we obey and we conduct ourselves. And it's also the source of how we will conduct ourselves, the way we act, the way we talk. And sometimes we're frightened by the way people in our society talk and act and conduct themselves and what so many people see themselves to be able to do. Barbara and I were talking yesterday. There was just this terrible disruption. Oh, well, more than a disruption. They just had an out-and-out fight, gang fight almost, on an airliner flying from here to there. And they had to turn the airliner around and land it because so many people were just conducting themselves like a bunch of animals. But here's the Bible telling us, just as Paul was telling Timothy, Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence. Watch how you're thinking. And we got, which means we got to think about how we think. And that's not the easiest thing in the world. And especially when we're afraid or when we're angry or almost every other condition. Sometimes we don't stop and think about ourselves. Every deed that happens in our life is going to be our responsibility. Coming back to the New Testament in Matthew, the 15th chapter, Jesus makes this statement. And again, this is some of the most generalized teachings of the Bible. But in Matthew 15 and verse 19, Jesus had taught them, well, back up with me to verse 10. Matthew, the 15th chapter, verse 10. And when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Verse 11. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth defiles a person. And you would think that seemed pretty straightforward, but Peter has to ask as you get down to verse 15. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. And so Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Verse 17, do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? Verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a person. Verse 19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a person. Jesus is describing the adult life. We're not talking about a five-year-old. We're talking about an adult who is responsible for where they go and what they do. And one of the most important things we can do is to always recognize what's going on up here is going to direct the way I act and talk and respond to so many people. And young people, the way children are raised sometimes are different. Barbara and I were talking about, she used to work for two doctors from Thailand, and they had told her, they had discussed it before, that when Oriental children are born, they are not disciplined at all. For first, 5 years? Something like that. Nothing. But boy, when they hit about 5 or 6 years old, it gets tough. But they feel as though that they're not comprehending or able to even consider, and so they just let them run wild, I guess. But it's an interesting thought. But then they begin to recognize that when a child or a person has enough sufficiency to think, they start in on all of the teaching and all of the things that we must recognize that come out of our thinking. Matthew, the 5th chapter, look with me there. Several passages reinforce this idea. Matthew 5, and we read verse 28. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. That's where adultery begins. It begins in the heart, and Paul is saying to Timothy, keep yourself, Timothy. You're going to have to be one of those that demand this of yourself. Over in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, over there, an astounding statement made by John. We read verse 15, 1 John 3, verse 15. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. Adultery, murder, it begins in the heart. The sins of just, not just murder and adultery, but I mean just disposition. Attitude, the way we look at life. Go back with me again. Matthew, the 7th chapter. Matthew, the 7th chapter. And right at, again, we won't read all of it, but Matthew, the 7th chapter, look at verse 3. You recognize this one, Matthew 7, verse 3. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Verse 5, hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Just plain old-fashioned criticism of what we think of somebody else is going to begin here in our thinking. And if we're not thinking about our thinking, then it's going to put us in a position of our heart not being correct. And Paul, again, telling Timothy, keep yourself. And that's our life, and it's all about our life, whether it's our disposition, our attitude. If you need to lose 10 pounds, it's up to you. It's going to be something you're going to decide. Look with me over Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians, the second chapter. And we read, let's see, begin in verse 3. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. It's just over and over in the Bible, all of these things that tell us how we're to conduct ourselves. The idea of being hypercritical, not maybe go and talk to somebody and say, brother, we need to talk about something. I got something I think you might need to hear. Or then just being selfish. All of this is coming from our thinking and it's coming from our heart and mind. Let me just read to you Proverbs 23 and verse 17. It says, do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day, for surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. Don't let your heart envy sinners. And the ungodly way in which that whole lifestyle is promoted in our society. And this, just as we take one verse of Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I mean, and we, again, you could take it in every direction. Go with me over the book of Jude, or the short letter of Jude. He begins to close up his short letter. He tells us, again, to think of what we're doing. Let's see, Jude verse 20. He says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You keep yourself in the love of God. Now, he's not talking about God's love for us. You remember over in Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 8, you know, he talks about the love of God. God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in him should not perish. The love of God sent his Son into the world. He is providing that realm, that context in which we stand in a right relationship with God, in fellowship with God. And man has to live in that conviction, in that faith, in that realm, the human part. Like Jesus saying, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. We're going to have to answer that call. And it's the will of mankind he's talking about here. If you're there with me in Jude, back up to 1 John again. We were looking at 1 John a few moments ago. 1 John, the 4th chapter. 1 John, the 4th chapter. And we read verse 9. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So here's the love of God. God has sent his Son into the world. If you back up a page to the second chapter, 1 John, the 2nd chapter, and look at verse 5, it says, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know we are in him. There is a response, a realm in which you and I are to live in, and it's responding trustfully, faithfully to the will of God. God showed his love to the world and to history. He sent his Son. Now, how do we keep ourselves in that love, in fellowship with that love? Well, what we just read there. Verse 5, 1 John 2, verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. So we need to understand, and this is going right along with what Paul was telling Timothy. Timothy, watch yourself, where you go, what you do, who you're around. Keep yourself pure. If you're still there with me in 1 John, the second chapter. Look back over to the fifth chapter. 1 John, the fifth chapter and verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Or, you've heard there with me in 1 John, the fifth chapter, all the way down to the last verse of the letter. 1 John, 5th chapter, verse 21. Little children, keep yourselves from what? Keep yourselves from idols. And there's just this responsibility that over and over is reinforced and is set forth for us to think seriously about. That the love of God is shown, yes. We're saved by the love of God, yes. But in another sense, we can say, no, we're not saved by the love of God only. We've got to respond to that love of God that was shown to mankind. Look with me back in James. James, the first chapter. You're very familiar with this one. James 1 and verse 27. We read, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their trouble and to do what? To keep oneself. The Bible wasn't written to children per se. It was written on the level of adults who think and act and are responsible for their lives and how they're to understand and then respond to the things of God and to recognize what religion is all about. Is to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. That is the religion of Christ, the teachings of Christ, and that great gospel is to call us out of the world, and maybe by chance or hopefully we can teach someone else the truth and have them come and join us in our faith in the Lord. Many will not listen, but this is what he's getting us to see. He said, pure and undefiled religion is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and keep oneself unspotted from the world. Pure and unspototted religion. This is James, the first chapter. Look over to the fourth chapter. James, the fourth chapter, verse 4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. But James tells us, you keep yourself unspotted from the world. And that's going to start with how we think, how we read, and how we look at things. And we strive to understand them from the standpoint of the Bible and how it relates to others and what our relationship is to other people. Let me read for you Romans, the 14th chapter. In Romans, the 14th chapter, Paul is concerned there with, again, how they're... Well, how they're at and how they're relating to one another. But in Romans 14, and we read down at verse 13, or back up to verse 12. Romans 14, verse 12. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God, which is, I guess, the point all along, that the whole effort of our whole life really should be described as one day I must stand before God and give an account for my life, my purposes, and the way I live. But verse 12, so then each of us shall give an account to himself. Verse 13, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. We're trying to be responsible in our lives of how we conduct ourselves. And that if we're not careful, we can bring shame and reproach and trials upon the very cause of our Lord. I mean, we saw that in the Old Testament when David and Bathsheba got all twisted up. And Nathan came to him and just told him, said, you have caused the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme the Lord. And there wasn't nothing David could do afterward. He could say, I'm sorry. But that didn't change it. It continued till the day he was died. The day David, the enemies of David would continually remind him of that. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, he says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. So when he writes to Timothy saying, keep yourself, he's saying, this is what I do. This is what gets me through. He endures a lot. But this has allowed me to be successful in preaching and having effect upon people's lives. And we need, as Peter says over in 1 Peter 2nd chapter, he said, I want you to think about this. 1 Peter the 2nd chapter and verse 11, he said, brethren, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Fleshly lust which war, fight against the soul. And if we get all tangled up in it, we won't even be able to be differentiated between us and the world. That's not what we want. It's not what Paul taught Timothy. He said, keep yourself pure. Keep yourself separate from the world. It's not easy. When he says, keep yourself, man, that's just a personal responsibility that nobody else can help you with. It's something I'm going to have on my shoulder, something I'm going to have to do. And we begin to think how, well, look with me in 1 Peter. If you're there with me in 1 Peter, look over in the 4th chapter. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. One of the things Peter tells the brethren there, 1 Peter 4, and we read down in verse 15. He said, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Stay out of other people's business. You're going to have all the demands and difficulties you can to shoulder all your responsibilities and all the things that come your way. But the other people's business I'm thinking of is, very first of all, is God's business. Let's stay out of God's business, and that is, let's keep following with what God would have us to be. It was God's business to give the scriptures and all of the statutes and the teachings and to reveal everything God would have us to be and do. That's what 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy 3 and 16, all scriptures given by the inspiration of God is profitable for. Four things: doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. This is what God gave. That was God's business, and we get to not respecting it as God's revelation. Many people wind up taking positions on so many things that are not beneficial at all. David said in Psalms 119, he said in verse 145, I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. What an attitude. This ought to be our attitude as Paul taught Timothy. He said, keep yourself. And the first thing I need to do is keep myself out of God's business. God's the one that revealed it. But to keep myself following what he has revealed. Just like David said. And then David goes on to say in Psalms 119, verse 115. He says, depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commands of my God. We don't need to be in other people's matters and business, but I recognize we've got business to take care of. We've got trade to take care of. We need to be people who follow the Lord's business. Remember what Jesus asked over in Matthew, the 16th chapter. What profit is it of a man if he gain the whole world and do what? And lose his soul. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Our business is keeping God's revelation in our very life. Let me read you one more, and then the lesson will be yours. 1 Thessalonians, the apostle writing there to them, and he loved Thessalonian brethren. But he says, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 11, he said that you aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we've commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside and that you may lack nothing. Boy, that would help a lot, wouldn't it? Let's keep ourselves. Keep yourself pure, Timothy. And just first and foremost, I mean, the first point was personal responsibility. I'm responsible for where I go and what I do. And I am responsible that one day I will stand before God and answer to Him how I lived my life, where I went and what I did and who I was involved in. I will answer to God. And let's be mindful of that. And that's why Paul would write to him. And Paul would say it to other people, but he would say to Timothy, Timothy, you're a person of God. You're a gospel preacher. He said, keep yourself. And you can't give any better instructions to every other member of the Lord's church. You represent Christ. You wear the name of Christ. You're a Christian. Let's remember that. The way we talk, where we go, who we're involved in, the things we let bother us, let's control our minds as to be people of the Word of God. If you're here this morning, you're not a member of the body of Christ. I hadn't been talking about the plan of salvation per se. But Jesus has made it clear when He told His disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized should be saved. And that's where we begin our walk in the pathway of righteousness. Because we're going to walk either the narrow path or we're going to walk that broad path out there where the devil's crowd is. And we will decide that. And we will keep ourselves in one or the other. If you're subject to Heaven's call this morning, would you please come as we stand and sing?